This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. It's the Mike Missanelli Podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Mike Missanelli Podcast. We are starting the week with a podcast with some big doings on the horizon for two of the teams that play winter sports, the Sixers and the Flyers. And of course, the Mike Missanelli Podcast is brought to you by the great people at Bet Rivers. I hope you made some money on the Masters. Bet Rivers had a lot of interesting bets out there. I actually grabbed Will Zalatoris early, and he stunk, and then I flipped into Colin Morikawa for a top three finish. So I was golden as Colin Morikawa. He kind of, you know, gave it up at the end, but he was in the money. So I'm good with that. The Bet Rivers app is fantastic. We are doing this podcast on Tuesday, April 16th. It's the day before, day of reckoning for the Philadelphia 76ers. And we'll talk about that and the Flyers coming up and what has to happen for the Flyers by the time you listen to this podcast. Maybe the Flyers are out of it. But as we do this, they still have a glimmer of hope. It's a 5% chance of making the playoffs after a season like this. All right, so let's get to the Sixers. You know, they had to win the last game against the Nets on Sunday. And if I were the Nets, I would have been very insulted because they decided to sit out Joel Embiid. In other words, we don't need Embiid to win this game. We're going to win it anyway. Now, it turned out that they were correct. But it also turns out that the Nets have absolutely no pride whatsoever because the Sixers blatantly dangled Embiid in front of their nose saying, yeah, we don't need him to beat your ass. And they wound up winning the game. But the rest of the results did not comply with the Sixers for them to get the sixth seed to avoid the play-in because the Pacers and Magic won their game. So here's where we stand. The Sixers, after all this, are in the play-in tournament. Now, it doesn't appear to be that daunting for me, this play-in tournament for the Sixers, unless they lose the game tomorrow night, Wednesday night, at the Wells Fargo Center against your Miami Heat. And we'll get into the back and forth of that game in a second. So the Sixers now have to do this. They have to win Wednesday against the Heat to lock in the seventh seed, which would put them into a first-round playoff match against the New York Knicks. Now, I actually, the Knicks have had a great season. Jalen Brunson is an MVP candidate. I don't think it's that daunting for the Sixers to beat the Knicks in a seven-game series. All right, I'll take my chances with that, even though the Knicks, they had the home court advantage. But I think the Sixers can win that series. And if they win that series, it puts them into a matchup with the Milwaukee Bucks, which I believe they can win that series also. And I don't even like this Sixers situation, but I'm looking at it realistically. Are the Knicks that daunting? No. Are the Bucks right now that daunting? No. So it is very possible the Sixers find themselves in an Eastern Conference final against the Boston Celtics. Do I think they can beat Boston? No. But they have a chance to beat Boston as long as Embiid is healthy and is playing every game. And he doesn't miss any games with this knee tweak. So let's look at the situation this year against the Heat. The Heat always give the Sixers trouble because they've got this playoff Jimmy concept with Jimmy Butler. He always plays well in the playoffs, especially plays well against the Sixers because all he has to do is look at Tobias Harris and score 30. Because he somehow, this Tobias Harris thing gets him unnerved that the Sixers chose Tobias Harris over him, which really wasn't the case. But players manufacture these little feuds in their head to pump them up. So playoff Jimmy could be playoff Jimmy, or he could not be playoff Jimmy. They're not going to be without Duncan Robinson in his playing game, which to me is a major loss for the Heat with that three-point power that he has. And we know what the Heat are going to do. They're going to, a lot of the times, zone up the Sixers and dare them to make shots. That's how they've had success in the past. Now, this Sixer team is a little different than teams they've had in the past, because they've added Kelly Oubre, who can hit a three. I think Tobias Harris has actually been a better three-point shooter. Maxey's been really good. Kyle Lowry, you never know. I don't know if Melton's going to be able to play. Like, all these questions are still out there. But I think in a game at home, in a play-in situation with Embiid playing, the Sixers win that game. And I don't actually think it'll be that close, that game. All right? I think the home court advantage is firmly in the Sixers' grasp. I think they'll carry that through. I think they win this by a substantial margin. Now, what is a substantial margin? More than the line would indicate. I haven't even looked at the line right now, but I think the Sixers are an 8-point winner in this game, at least. This year, the team split 2-2. So let's go over each game. On December 25th, the Christmas Day special, at Miami, they lost 119-113. However, there was no Joel Embiid in that. Oubre with 25, Tobias at 27. Melton had 16 in that game. Next time they played him was February 14th, Valentine's Day. Two holidays the Miami Heat got the Sixers with. And they lost, the Sixers lost to that game. Again, no Embiid. Miami won it 109-104. Maxey had 30, a wasted 30. But then the Sixers rallied over the last two times they played Miami this year. March 18th, they won without Embiid. That was a monster win for the Sixers. You remember it all, 98-91, as Maxey went for 30 again and a win. And then, most recently, April 4th at Miami, Embiid played. The Sixers won 109-105. Embiid with 29. Maxey had 37. There was no Tyler Hero in that game. So let's look at Miami's lineup and what they'll face for Wednesday night. Rozier will play as the starting point guard, giving Miami a different look than they've had in the past. Adebayo, they've been going with Nikola Jokic in their starting lineup. And, of course, Jimmy Butler. And we don't know if Tyler Hero is going to play in this game. All right, so they're kind of shortchanged. And, again, it's Miami, the way they play the Sixers, frustrate the Sixers. Eric Spoelstra is a really good, crafty X and O coach, and he knows how to play this Sixer team, and he knows how to play Joel Embiid. Now, Adebayo has been a pretty rough matchup for Joel Embiid in the past. The Sixers starting lineup will go Lowry, Maxey, Embiid, Oubre, and Harris. All right, Miami after the All-Star break, pretty good. They were 16-11 after the All-Star break. They had a plus 133-point differential. However, they were only 21st in offensive ranking. So their offense slogged, even though their defense kept them in most games. And again, we talked about the zone defense that they employ. 13% of the time, they are in a zone for the entire season. And that may increase against the Philadelphia 76ers. The Sixers, with Embiid in the lineup, a sterling 31-8. Without him, they were 15-27. Since his return, he has averaged 30, 9 rebounds, 5 assists in those 5 games. Can he rise his level in the playoffs? That is the bigger question down the road as we get deeper into the playoffs. But this being a must-win game, I believe the Sixers and Embiid will come up big and they will win that game, leaving them with the 7th seed. Now, if they lose Wednesday, it's not the end of the season. They would have to then turn around and beat the winner at home of the Atlanta Hawks and the Chicago Bulls. And if they win that game, and I can't imagine they would lose that game at home, that would lock them into the 8th seed, and you know what that means. Da-da-da-da! They get the Boston Celtics in the first round. All right, so Darren, do we have a line on this game Wednesday?
4.5. And 207.5 is the total.
Sixers 4.5. You know, that's a line that, I don't know, it's kind of low. So
it's a little low.
Maybe it'll be closer than I think. I don't know. But I'm gonna bet this.
Yeah, it's a Miami line by your turn.
When you just said 4.5, I just in my head flashed take the Heat with the 4.5, because that means it's gonna be a nail biter.
By your standards, without question, it's a Miami line.
Yes. All right, so that's the situation on that game. Again, the Knicks, I hate to jump ahead because I know people are going to say, yeah, Mikey, you missed them. I think the Sixers will get that 7th seed. I think they will play the Knicks in the first round. Now, am I shortchanging the Knicks here? I probably am. Because they play hard. But Jalen Brunson wills them to win. And the head coach has willed them to win. So they're going to be a tough out. But I just think that they're not, it's not a daunting task to think that they can win four games against the Knicks. To me, it's a very daunting task to think they can win four against Boston. And I also think if they get to the next round, this Milwaukee team is so flunky, I don't know how they're going to be in the playoffs. They look a little short to me in rotation. And so I never thought that this Sixer team would get into an Eastern Conference final to play the Boston Celtics for the chance to go to the NBA Finals. But I'm looking at it now, and the last thing I am is a homer. I believe that they have a realistic chance to play in the Eastern Conference Finals this year with this team. All right, we'll see how it turns out. Darren,
Mike, I think you're burying the lead. The lead is something you taught me a long time ago. They can't beat Miami. I don't want to get out. I don't want to hear it. Like, it's, there should be no question that they should be able to beat Miami. Now you get to the Knicks. Look, New York was a better team than them for most of the season. But I don't know that they have an answer for a healthy Embiid. But first things first, if you can't beat Miami at home in one game with a healthy Embiid, I don't want to hear it.
Here's the mistake you're making. This is not a 5 or 7 game series. This is one game. You know, the longer a series goes on, Miami, I get it, that Miami is formidable. In a situation like this, the Heat really are kind of in and out with their lineup. They got guys banged up. They have been up and down. They have not been consistent. You're going to ask that team, it's a one-game situation to come into Philadelphia and win that game. I don't think the same criterion applies in a one game that it would apply in a series. So when you say they can't beat Miami, maybe they can't beat Miami in a longer series. They certainly should be able to beat them in one game at home. And they're well-rested because Embiid won't have played in several days.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, there should be no reason. There's no reason the Sixers can't beat Miami. And if they don't beat them, then they weren't ready for, you know, again, once again, they weren't ready. I don't think this game should be close tomorrow night.
I agree. So that's why the lead to me is whether they can get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Hold on.
What do you know about leads?
Yeah, I get it. Okay, let me turn off my.
Who's ringer. Calling? This is live podcasting right here,
yeah,
folks.
Live
who's
podcast.
Calling?
Somebody was trying to get in touch with me. Very important caller that meant money. Uh-oh. But here I am doing the podcast. Uh-oh. I was going to pause the podcast and deal with this, but we won't do that. All right. So let's look at the rest of the league now, in case you're interested or in case you haven't paid attention. Of course, the Celtics will play the eighth seed. I believe that will be Atlanta. I believe Atlanta will survive against the Bulls. The 4 and 5, the Cavs and Magic, and then the Bucks and Pacers for the 3-6 matchup, and then Knicks versus the 7th seed, which I believe will be the Philadelphia 76ers. So again, they would avoid a second round matchup with Boston, and they would get, I think actually the Pacers can win that series. So I'm not presuming that it's going to be Milwaukee anyway, but I believe the Sixers will handle either of those teams in the second round. All right, the Western Conference, the Thunder got the number one seed. Wow. Versus the eighth seed. That's a play-in situation. The Nuggets will play the 7th seed in a play-in situation. The T-Wolves against the Suns, 3 versus 6. And the Clippers and Jimmy Harden playing Luka and Kyrie with the Mavericks. And I believe the Mavericks will upset the Los Angeles Clippers, and Jimmy Harden can get to the clubs in Houston a little early. All right, so there you go. There's your Western Conference. The NBA playoffs are here. Let's move on to the Philadelphia Flyers. A glimmer of hope for the Flyers. The first thing they have to do is tonight they have to win against the Caps. Now, the Caps have to win also. So this is not a bop game for the Flyers, but that's the first step. So here's what they would have to do. They would have to beat the Caps tonight. The Red Wings would have to lose to Montreal in regulation. So in other words, they can't get that all-important 1 point and take it into overtime. And the Penguins have to lose to the Islanders in regulation. That would create a three-way tie for 89 points between the Flyers, Caps, and the Red Wings. And so the tiebreaker would go as follows. The Red Wings would be out because they are last in the tiebreaker of regulation wins tiebreaker. The Flyers and Caps are tied in regulation wins. We go to the next tiebreaker. They're also tied in regulation overtime wins. We go to the next tiebreaker. Total wins, they're tied. And then head-to-head to head points, they are tied 2-2. So they would have to go to an unprecedented fifth tiebreaker, which is, do you know what it is, Darren?
I would guess at that point it's a coin toss.
No, nope.
That's if they go into a tie.
No, nope, not a coin toss. It is goal differential. And then if it goes to a fifth tiebreaker, the Flyers would win that last spot if it goes to the fifth tiebreaker. The problem is that the Penguins have two games left, and they're probably not going to lose in regulation to an Islanders team that has nothing to play for. They've had their playoff spot very clinched already. So you're looking at a 5% chance. Of the Flyers getting into the playoffs. If they do it, hey, it would be a marvelous comeback, and they'd have to do it in the fifth tiebreaker, but most likely they're not going to do it.
You think about some of their just terrible losses over the past month and a half. If they won one more game, you're telling me that they'd probably be okay by winning tonight? That's a little...
It's the only chance they have is to win. Now, even if
I get that,
even if they win, they would have to go through the parameters of these other teams. And it's not likely that all of those things are going to happen to get to the fifth tiebreaker, which they would win and get in the playoffs.
Right. What year was it for the Eagles when they needed, I think they needed the Bears to beat the Texans, or the Texans to beat the Bears. They needed the Raiders to beat the Bucks, and then we went into played the Cowboys that late in that day and won 44-6. It was like the most remarkable. And then they ended up going to the NFC championship game, I think, and losing. It was 2008, I think.
Yeah.
They lost to Arizona. So, you know, it's been done. We'll see. It's been done.
Yeah.
That was a fun ride for the Eagles. We'll see what happens
tonight.
All right.
Speaking of the Eagles, let's move on. Big contract signing a couple days ago. Devontae Smith got an extension.
It was a segue.
He got $75 million tacked on, $51 million guaranteed, 3 years, which means he will be an Eagle till at least 2028. I don't want to be a cynic here, but the first thing I thought about was, wow, $25 million. That's five more million than the guy who's supposed to be the biggest wide receiver stud that they have, A.J. Brown. Now, listen, I've been in this game for a really long time. I pretty much understand human emotions, and I especially understand human emotions when it comes to divas. I am predicting. Now, here's the situation with A.J. Brown. He's only got one more year of guaranteed money. So if you think that A.J. Brown is going to sit there and go, I'm so happy for Devontae, and not think of himself thinking, wait a minute, I'm better than he is. I don't have any guaranteed money after next year. So how about if I get a contract extension, Philadelphia Eagles? Now, who on earth doesn't think that's going to happen? Let me go to my producer, Darren. Darren, do you think that A.J. Brown is going to go buy a bouquet of roses for Devontae and say, I'm happy for you, man. Way to go. Or I think that somewhere during this season, there will be some kind of a contractual situation where he complains.
I'll paint it to you like this. He's going to give him a bouquet of roses and say, great job. I'm happy for you. And thank you for giving me all the ammunition I need to go out and chirp for an extension. Because that is what's going to happen. It's the first thing I thought of. By the way, I'll give credit to Victor Williams on Twitter for clarifying something for me. This essentially, like, they're extending the fifth-year option on Devontae, which is, I think, it pays him $15.6 million this year. So, really, over 4 years, he's getting $90.6 million guaranteed. So, the when I first heard the contract, 3 years, 75, 51, I thought, a little underwhelming. This is a guy they view as a number one, regardless of what they have A.J. Brown under contract for. But $91 million over the next 4 years, that's pretty damn good for a receiver who technically in the offense is the two. But yeah, there's no doubt. A.J. Brown, thanks for the ammunition, buddy. Because by October 1st, you're going to start to hear rumbles.
Now, don't you think the Eagles have anticipated this? And what do you think they will do about it then?
Well, you'll know if they, for some I will burn down NovaCare if they take a wide receiver early on in this draft. And there's going to be good ones probably when they pick or can within reach to move up to. If they do something like that, that's the writing on the wall. But, you know, I think they'll extend AJ. I think he's still young enough. I mean, what is he now? Is he 27 now? Something like that. So I think they view him as giving him one more deal to stay.
Okay. We shall see. Something to look for as we get maybe T.O. all over again. His contract is less than some other people in the league.
No, I get it. But this team worships the wideout position.
Yeah.
They spent, what, 4 years in a row trying to draft a wideout in the first year out or first and second round. So they view that position higher than most people.
All right, so there's your Eagles news as we get ready for these mini camps and such and training camp. There'll be a lot of interesting looks at this Eagles team and whether they're going to be good enough defensively when they put all these parts together and all the players they've added. Let's move on to another big event that happened this weekend. And even if you're not a golf fan, you're pretty intrigued by the Masters because it's just on TV, it's just an oasis. It's just beautiful. You look at it and go, oh my God, they actually play golf on this? And so let's get to the biggest storyline, because the biggest storyline is what people force feed down your throat like you're a child and you don't like your oatmeal. And it's Tiger Woods. I get it. He's the greatest golfer ever. But this obsession with Tiger Woods has gotten just crazy, at least for me, it's gotten crazy. So the big story was that he made the cut. Okay, you even sent me a Tiger made the cut. You're all excited. And then he dropped like a stone in a lake, and he finished dead last in the field. 60th of the 60 players that made the cut at 16 over. So he was one under to make the cut. He proceeded to go 18 over. To finish
it's Augusta. And by the way, the last two times he made the cut at Augusta, same thing happened. He sunk like a stone.
Yeah.
So I wasn't surprised, to be honest with you. I just think more than any other tournament, he's the story.
All right. So I watched a lot of the Masters, and when I was out driving around, I had on Masters radio, and so I'm listening to the commentators and. Every one of them goes, well, I think this week, this is when he finished dead last. I think this week has to be a victory for Tiger, don't you think? And I'm going, what is a victory? What is a victory? He finished dead last. He was 16 over. Where is the big victory? What am I missing here? That we now look at this guy like, oh my God, finishing dead last is a victory for great Tiger who survived four. Stop it. Stop it. Enough. Listen, I feel bad for the guy. He's all broken down. Most of it was self-inflicted. So I can't look at this. If he wants to continue to play majors and think he has a chance, whatever. I can't tell him to how to judge his own mortality, right? But please don't force feed. These people are so afraid. Golf commentators are so afraid to explore the reality of a situation. That's not a victory. That's kind of pathetic that he has to limp in at 16 over. He is ruining his legacy as the greatest golfer on earth. Nobody wants to see him finish dead last. So why are we saying it's a victory for Tiger? So you get brownie points and Tiger will give you an interview? I just don't understand it. And maybe it's because I've covered other sports that are far more cynical than professional golf. And so in this way, Scottie Scheffler doesn't get the attention he deserves because he's the greatest golfer on the planet right now. I've never seen anybody so relentless as this guy. In an era where anybody can win a golf tournament, these guys are all so good. This guy is better than all of them because he's got this stick-to-itiveness that I haven't seen in a really long time. You know, all this fanfare about Rory this, Rory that, this guy goes out and hits every shot that he needs to hit. And he's unfazed by anything that's around him. And his feet are moving all over the place. If you look at an amateur, you go, the first thing you want to stop there, Mr. Amateur, is that feet moving all over the place. This guy makes a precision ball strike with his feet moving all over the place. It's uncanny the way this guy plays golf. And I'm looking at it, I'm going, I can't bet him. It's too easy to bet Scottie Scheffler. It's like he comes off, I go, all right, he's minus 145. The rest of them are plus 300, plus 400, plus 500. He's the prohibited favorite. I'm going, somewhere along the line, he's got to falter, and he never does. And I get fooled all the time trying to outsmart myself, and I bet Colin Morikawa thinking that he was going to pull some major upset, but you can't beat this guy because he doesn't let you beat him. In a lot of ways, he's like Danny Hurley of UConn. He won't let another team beat him. He's obsessed with it, but he's obsessed with it in a kind of a kind way. I don't know. It's really impressive.
I thought Morikawa said something interesting after the tournament. He said, you know, I gambled. You got to gamble. And he's right. At that point in the tournament on the back nine, when you're facing the best in the world, you got to gamble. He said, I gambled a 9 and 11. And he double bogeyed. And like home, like everybody else that was close. By the way, love that Ogard kid, that Swedish phenom. He's really fun to watch.
But two things about Scheffler. Oberg,
whatever his name.
There's a Hogarth and there's an Oberg.
I said Ogard.
You said Ogarth. Or whatever.
Ogard. Whatever.
Yeah. All right.
He's fun to watch. Two things about Scheffler, though, Mike. He hasn't hit an over par round in seven months.
It's pretty phenomenal. And, you know, as I'm watching Colin Morikawa, you got to gamble. You left one in the trap, dude. You left the ball in the trap on 9. What do you mean you had to gamble? All you got to do is get up and down. You left it in the trap. I leave him in the trap, not you. I bet you don't leave that ball in a trap. Come on, dude. You got to get out of the trap. You got to get out of the bunker.
Here's what impressed me most about Scheffler. I didn't see his face the entire final round. He walks with his head down and keeps everything. I saw the top of his hat, the Nike swoosh. That's all I saw. And that's impressive to me, to be able to block out all that noise. Sunday at Augusta. The crowds, the pressure. That was so impressive to me. That kid's, he's got ice water in his veins. Really, yeah. Really impressive.
Here I am living and dying with every shot Morikawa's hitting. And this guy's steamrolling me. All right. Yeah, so now Butler Cabin, the ceremony. I'm fascinated by these little things, right? So that most people turn it off. I have to see the Butler Cabin ceremony where Fred Ridley does the narration with Nance, and they give it to the high amateur, and then they give it the previous winner has to put the jacket on the new winner. And I'm looking at Jon Rahm, and I could see that he's going, you know, I was number one in the world for about 30 seconds. now I'm schlepping on the live tour that nobody watches, and this guy's the best golfer. I can just see what's going through his head because he's got a bad head anyway. Rob, and he didn't look that delighted to be in Butler Cabin putting that jacket on Scottie Scheffler. But the thing that got me the most was this weirdo amateur. This kid who he's kind of portly, right? And he's like, he's side-eyed him. I like, what is he? He's like shooting his eyes like this. He's side-eyed him. I'm like, who's he looking at out there? It was weird. Did you see that? Was it weird?
I saw it. I think he looked so nervous, that kid. He really did. He looked so nervous. And Rahm, you're right. Rahm looked like he wanted to be on a plane 72 hours prior to that moment. He just wanted to get the hell out of
there. And if I may, stick around. One more stomp on Tiger. Tiger had to play with that kid in the last round. That kid beat his ass. That kid, that side-eyed freak beat his ass.
He was interesting, all right. That kid.
Anyway. That's all the current stuff that was going on when we last saw you on the podcast, the Mike Mastelli podcast, brought to you by Bet Rivers. It is now time for Mike Unleashed. I watched the WNBA draft last night. I don't know why, but I watched it, And here's the first thing that caught my eye as a, you know, I'm a typical male. Like, these girls that you see sweating on the basketball court all of a sudden get all prim and propered up for this. They all got the designer dresses on. It's like they're walking the carpet at the Oscars, for crying out loud. So Caitlin Clark's the first pick in the draft. And the second pick in the draft is this 6'4" blonde named Cameron Brink. Whoa. I literally went, whoa. Her godmother is Steph Curry's mother. So she was at the draft. But here was the most bizarre thing I saw at the NBA draft. The girls get drafted. They walk over. Their coaches are sitting in one area. They go, they get the huggies from the coach and whatever. Who hugs Caitlin Clark? Jake from State Farm. What is Jake from State Farm doing in there in the hug line? What is the deal? I know State Farm was a sponsor. He's got his damn Jake from State Farm suit on, and he's making sure he's hugging the player.
Wait a minute. The kid in the commercial? Missed
that. Yes. Jake from State Farm. Oh, it's got the NBA draft hugging the players. I'm going, what the hell is going on here? And I'm starting to think about this guy. He obviously wanted to be an actor. Now, if you remember the original State Farm commercial, Jake from State Farm, it was kind of this loser husband who was in his living room late at night.
Khakis.
Talking. And the wife comes out, who are you talking to? It's Jake from State Farm. all of a sudden.
What are you wearing?
This young actor gets the part of Jake from State Farm. So he's now peg-holed into this role. Is there any other role this guy can now play? He sold his soul. Listen, I'm sure he's making a ton of money, but he will forever be Jake from State Farm. He can't be in any other acting part, right? He's
not going to be in like the new Mission Impossible. It's like Tom Cruise's sidekick.
If you're a casting director, can't cast that guy because everybody's going to look at it. That's Jake from State Farm. They're not going to believe the part.
They say though that some of the most money you can make in entertainment is by hooking on and being like one of these commercial faces. He's probably making more money than a lot of actors working actors out there.
He decided to be Jake from State Farm, whether he fell into the role, but just know that that's it for you. Like, you know, down the road, you might be son of Jake from State Farm, might have to take your place eventually.
Dude, he's hanging out with, you know, great looking basketball at WNBA girls.
Yeah.
It's not that bad a gig.
All right, let's move on. I paid more attention to women's basketball because of Caitlin Clark, obviously. And that's the thing that these salty professionals don't understand, that she's brought more eyeballs to the screen. So whether they're going to give her a hard time or not, or whether she's not going to be that successful at her first year in the league is irrelevant. You now get more interest that somebody who wouldn't have wanted to watch a WNBA game is now going to tune in to see this league. And this is why they were short-sighted about when they criticized Caitlin Clark. But one of the players that played on LSU, Angel Reese, of course, was drafted last night, and she was all dolled up too. She's spectacular. Haley Van Lith was the little blonde point guard with the double braids sticking out.
Yeah, I like her.
You like that? You like that?
I do. So, I like that Van Lith.
So she's transferring now from LSU. She's out of there.
I know. She was from Louisville, transferred to LSU for 1 year.
Yeah, she's eligible for Louisville. One more year, and she transferred to she would start at Louisville, brought him to a Final Four.
Right.
And
then
she
was in Louisville to LSU.
I forget where she's transferring now, but I find that really odd because LSU's still going to be a formidable power. But she's transferring. But a little known fact about Haley Van Lith is that her boyfriend is an NBA player. Jalen Suggs from the Orlando Magic is her BF.
Ah, oh, all right.
How about that?
Are you saying I'm out?
You're out. So where they could have met, he went to Gonzaga, she went to Louisville. Like, where could they have possibly met to start a relationship? And what kind of relationship is it? She's playing at LSU, he's playing in the NBA. Like, where did they possibly see each other? But anyway, good luck to the happy couple is all I wanted to say. All right, let's move on. Charles Barkley, uh-oh, took a hit. Well, as much as he can take a hit, the big CNN show that paired him with Gail King, which was called King Charles, is canceled now after 6 months. I watched a little of it. It didn't have any pizzazz. And this is one of the few things that Charles is ever going to fail at. It's like everything he does turns to gold, and this did not. So I'm sure he's fine with it. He still makes a ton of money, and it's one less gig he has to do. And I know he likes his free time to play golf. Okay. Now, finally, well, not finally, because I'm going to save this for last. Let's look at the NBA selected players that will be on Team USA for the Olympics. They left one spot open for me, I think, but they have 11 and they have to fill the spot. I want to read this team to you, and you tell me who beats this team. LeBron, Durant, Steph, Embiid, Jason Tatum, Devin Booker, Drew Holiday, Anthony Davis, Bam Adebayo, Anthony Edwards, Tyrese Halliburton. And the 12th spot, they think, is going to go to Kawhi Leonard. Now, first, who beats that team, A? But B, how can you possibly parcel out playing time for these guys where they're all going to be happy?
That's impossible. A 12th guy, Kawhi Leonard. No one's beating him. There's no 10 people on the planet that can come within 30 points of that.
Yeah. Team. Now here are the candidates for the 12th spot, mind you. Kawhi Leonard is said to be the front runner, but Paul George, Paolo Banchero, who should be playing for Team Italy, you know, the expatriate that he is, Mikal Bridges, and Jalen Brunson are also under consideration. I got to be honest with you. I would take Jalen Brunson on that team. Selfless player. Wouldn't care about minutes. Can get in there to be a point guard. It could facilitate. I think he's the perfect guy to be that 12th guy, but they'll probably go with Kawhi based on seniority.
I totally agree. I would go with I said the same thing to myself. Brunson will give you a lot more on that team. And Kawhi's a name. He's a name. And he's got seniority in the league. So.
All right. But listen, the world, I know people rave about the European teams these days. Seriously, is there a team out there that can beat that team talent-wise? It's happened in the past where they've had overly talented teams that got beat by a team that had a system. I get it. But my God, there's not a weakness on that team. The greatest players that are in the game today are right there. You know, Luka's going to play with four Slovenians who, are they going to be at the same level as these guys? No, I don't think so. All right, last thing I want to talk about. Apple has lost the top phone maker spot to Samsung. Now, you have a Samsung, and I have an iPhone.
I do.
I don't understand the Samsung phone. So maybe you can enlighten the people as to why that Samsung thing works for you, where apparently I don't think I've met another person that uses a Samsung in this day and age of the iPhone. So tell me why you chose it.
I could talk for days about this. First of all, I despise Apple. I hate their operating system. They are greedy as a company. They have the highest margin rate in the history of American mechanics. I hate the company, everything about them. I hate their stores. I hate that you have to make an appointment to come in and have your device looked at with somebody called the genius. Pardon my French. Fuck you, genius. Okay?
Wow.
First of all, the Samsung phone
has a
better...
God.
They've cost me so much time with other devices in my family. First of all, the Samsung is a better camera. It's a better video camera. Everything about it is better. And by the way, the Android operating system plays with other operating systems. Android plays with Google. Apple doesn't like to play with anybody else. Screw you, Apple. I'm so happy that this is happening.
You see,
by the way, Apple's taking their eye off the prize here. they're diversifying into too many other things, electric vehicles, all this other stuff.
See, now the phones are taking a hit. I can't get used to a new system. As technophobia as I am, like, I got a PC. Well, the world is has an Apple Mac computer. and seriously, I couldn't learn that new system. I know what I know, right? I got used to the iPhone. I got used to the PC. I don't need to go through the hoops to learn this new technology. I'm an old school guy. I didn't grow up with the keyboard. In fact, when I started in journalism, I was typing off a freaking IBM Selectric. So
how could you say you're an old school guy and you prefer Apple?
I don't prefer. Was the phone. I mean, people get iPhone. All right, let me get an iPhone. I didn't even know there was another system.
So the Android operating system is a lot simpler to you.
I don't even want to know about the Android. All right, that's cut it off right there. This has been the Mike Mesnelli Podcast. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can get in touch with me via email, mike@mikemess.com. Check out my website. Don't forget, this is wine drinking spring. Get down to Natale Vineyards down there in Cape May Courthouse, New Jersey. I am part owner of Natale Vineyards. I am very proud of my association with the vineyard. Also, get the lawns going. Get the lawn. Natural lawn. I'm telling you, you got to get natural. My lawn is going up. I go, wow, look, it's amazing. But that's because of the food that they put in the autumn, and then it hibernates and then it comes out. It's all natural, and you get a great lawn. I've mowed my lawn like 5 times already. That's how nice it's growing. All right, so there you go. Anything else?
One other thing. If you're going to the Phillies game tonight, are you?
Mike Miss 25 on Twitter. All righty.
If you're going to the Phillies game tonight, Mike, for anybody listening, come to Section 112. The lunatics I share season tickets with, we're walking in with 100 hot dogs. We're keeping
dollar dog night. That's right. It's BOGO night at the ballpark tonight. Buy one, get one. That'll cost you $5 for 2 hot dogs. The Phillies with a big win last night. And the hero, Christian Pache, in extra innings.
Pache.
All right, everybody.
Come to 112. We'll give them to you for $1.
What's that?
Come to 112. We'll give them to you for $1.
Are you selling your own hot dogs?
Well, we're going to give them away. Okay. We're just playing.
Oh, yeah, really? What, are you going to stock up? Everybody's going to buy.
We have 100 hot dogs that we're cooking in the parking lot with a big with a turkey.
You're bringing in your own hot dogs?
We're wrapping them in foil. We're bringing them in. We're giving them out. Section 112.
Well, that should be illegal. You should get tossed for that. You can't bring outside hot dogs.
Hey, we're bringing in 25 each. We got clear bags. We're following all the rules.
Philly security, Section 112, evict them all. Have a great rest of the day, everybody. This is Mike Mesnelli for Darren. Take care. We'll see you on Thursday. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Mike Mesnelli Podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.